Welcome, sweet friends. Tonight we bring you the Call of Penance RPG, a Call of Cthulhu adaptation written and GM'd by Bellry. We remind you all at this time there will be adult themes and cursing. So without any further ado, let us return to 1920s Virginia.
Hello everybody and welcome to the first episode of the Call of Penance RPG, our take on the Call of Cthulhu D&D system. So we are in 1920s Virginia, Prohibition is in full swing. So after the suspicious death of Neil Carraway, private detective, a group of people who know him well have decided to investigate his death. Introduce all of yourselves and why you know Mr. Neil Carraway, private investigator. Penelope Pendleton, please.
Hello, my character is Penelope Pendleton. She is a journalist for a classy ladies' magazine. She knows Mr. Carraway because he's a good friend of her husband's who saved his life during the First World War, although he still managed to lose his leg. But he's actually alive. Yay!
Fantastic. Mr. Snide McBride.
Yes, hello. I play Mr. Snide McBride, and he's a thief. A young thief at the age of 21. And he actually hired Mr. Neil Carraway when he was 20 to see if he could track down his parents, since he has been brought up in an orphanage. But he was sort of interested in what to do to find them and see what they were like. To no avail, though.
All right. Next is Miss Tilly White.
Hello. I know, or knew, Neil Carraway. Not great to have to talk about this, but he came across my father in an investigation quite a few years ago now, and we kind of kept in touch off and on, and he was very encouraging about my going into journalism.
What about Walter Gabe?
Hi, I'm Walter Gabe, PI. After Walter's family died, he ended up living on the streets. Neil Carraway ran into Walter while on a case and took him under his wing, becoming his mentor and surrogate father figure, who taught him the ways of the PI world.
And we've got Victor.
Hello, I'm Victor. I am a mechanic, and I know the private investigator because I hired him to track down my mother. Went missing with a famous jockey when I was a child.
Dr. Adrian Zilber.
Good evening. I am a doctor. I am Dr. Adrian Zilber. I have known of the deceased by... I was discussing with him what had happened to several of my patients who had gone missing in the surrounding area.
So, a few days have passed after the funeral. It was very emotional. Some of you, I'm sure, cried. You have gathered together in a hotel and decided to find out what would be the best course of action, how you should start this investigation. One of you recalled that Mr. Neil Carraway had a family, his wife Nessie Carraway and his daughter Rose. You decided that it would probably be best to talk to them to see what he was up to immediately beforehand. You make your way to the house and you knock on the door. It's answered by Miss Carraway and she says, "Hello! Yes, I recognise some of you. Do come in. What can I help you with?"
"We just wanted to see how you were doing and whether there was anything we could do to help you."
"I'm alright. It's my young daughter I'm concerned about. She keeps asking where her husband, her father's gone. She's very young but very precocious to have a husband at such a young age. She's only 6, you know."
"Only 6, dear woman? Do you need medication? You sound a bit delirious."
"No, I'm sure it's just the hysteria. That's a thing that happens to us when we know when in the 20s and our husbands die in such unexpected fashion."
"We might have to get you taken off to an asylum at that rate. I mean, have you found any hot flushes?"
"Oh, I've had a few, but I shudder to think what would happen to young Rose if I was gone."
"Really? Really?
Yes.
So, well, of course we'd make sure she was taken care of."
"I'm sure, but I'd like to keep my eye on her. But anyway, don't stand outside. Do come in and have a cup of tea and perhaps some pound cake."
"Some
thank you, that's very kind of you."
"Pound cake, doctor. It's a cake made from equal amounts, usually measured by the pound, of ingredients."
"I see. And how do you apply this thing?"
It's usually taken via the mouth, good doctor.
Oh, the
it's
mouth?
Cake.
Oh.
Right. It's taken orally.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Doctor. Don't you know how to eat a cake? Where are you from?
I believe over in England they call it a Victoria sponge cake.
Oh, I shouldn't know. I haven't travelled much outside of the good town of Jonestown here in Virginia. I realised I hadn't given the town name away.
Yes, we were getting quite confused which part of the world we were in.
Shall we go and sit down? Would that be okay, Mrs. Carraway?
Please do.
Thank you.
Hello, Miss Calloway. I am sorry for your loss.
Not as sorry as I am sure. You suffered a terrible blow during the war.
I mean, she's still got one parent left. That's one more than me.
And me. I've lost a second father.
Yes, yes. I've told you time and time, if any of you want medication for this loss, you can take it from me.
Doctor,
thank you, good doctor.
Are you attempting to profit
from
the death of poor Mr. Carraway?
No. I just look at the round and you see, I mean, look at this poor woman. She's been under so much stress. I mean,
but isn't the medication you prescribed some of the most expensive in this part of the state?
Well, there's a range, really.
I see.
If you want to see the range, in my bag here, there's a range of tonics and such. I mean, blue bottle here is kill or cure, and I assure you it does one or the other.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I'm going to pull out my notepad and pencil and start taking notes of what's in this bag, leaving everyone else to get on with actually doing something.
As Tilly is writing notes, a young girl dressed in a nice little pink summer dress comes walking in with a tray of teas and coffees and says, "Mummy, who are these men? And when is Daddy coming home?" It's apparently what a six-year-old sounds like.
That accent was terrible, Barry, but carry on.
It's fine. It's consistent.
I'm afraid Daddy won't be home for quite a little while, young Rose. These people were looking to help find what happened to him.
Oh, well, did you say she was?
Young Rose is six. Coming on,
and
seven.
And you said she was married?
Well, it's just her little fantasy, you see. She has a very large teddy bear that she calls Hubby.
Oh, bless. That's very sweet of her. She is very lucky to have
and,
you, Mr. Carraway.
How long has Hoggy been married for?
Oh, since we got him about, I don't know, 2 years ago now.
So she's been married for 2 years?
Yes, we
and
do try to indulge.
And this fantasy up, you say?
Well, we do try to indulge a child. It's just a harmless fantasy.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's way better than real life. Tell you, I know.
Would you marry a bear?
I would marry a bear anytime.
I see.
Yes, I see. What worries me more is her insistence that her father will return. She doesn't seem to grasp the fact that he's not coming back, I'm afraid.
She's probably in shock still.
Have you thought about getting a second bear?
I do not hold with that kind of lifestyle, Doctor. And I will not encourage it in my child. We are a Christian family, thank you very much.
Perhaps we should withdraw to the dining room. Sorry, the parlor room, as we are still technically in the hall.
Yeah.
No, I think you'll find we're all sat down in the living room.
Yes, because we already covered that.
Snide McBride will go into the hallway again and laugh his ass off.
Sure, you're a private investigator, Walter. You seem to be having trouble grasping the layout of a house.
I'm just so distraught for losing Neil that I'm skipping.
Are you examining those plants, Walter?
I'm examining everything.
I see.
And I am swamped by far too much information at this time.
I see. You're very sweaty, Walter.
Well, that's what happens in this lovely weather.
It's raining.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Right, do you know what? Roll world knowledge. It is, in fact, nice and sunny outside.
Hmm.
Doctor, I think you may need to get examined.
Yeah, he's been using his own medication again, probably.
I think you might
be right.
Roof
must be leaking.
Oh no, we don't even have running water. It's a very old house, you know.
I could fix it for you.
There's nothing to fix, Mr. Victor. There's no pipes.
Okay.
I've heard about you, French, trying to lay pipe wherever you go.
Nessie, I would like to ask, do you happen to remember what Neil was working on before he passed?
Yes, why don't I take you to his study? It hasn't been touched since he died.
Well,
and the police haven't really done much to investigate, I must say.
What killed Neil?
I'm not his
physician, I don't know what actually killed him.
We don't really know, to be honest. They're still conducting the autopsy. But it's been most peculiar, I'm told, although they don't tend to tell young brides very much at all.
But I thought we buried him.
What did they bury?
Yes, we buried him.
Yes, but that doesn't mean... Well, you're telling me that the police department have refused to release the autopsy details to you, Mrs. Carraway.
That might be what happened, yes. I just assumed that they would exhume him, but... You know how they try to pull one over on us women nowadays.
I don't think, dear lady, that they would bury him only to pull him back up.
Well, we might have to go through some grave
digging then. We have the vote now, so we can do something about that.
So, shall we go to the study? And we'll see if we can find anything that would set your mind at rest, Mrs. Carraway.
Certainly. I'll just show you up to there. I'm afraid Neil didn't talk much about his work. The most I could gather. Yes, I'm so hysterical, you see.
I'm beginning to wonder if you really do need admitted.
The most I could gather that he was investigating a missing persons. I believe she was some sort of reporter, but I'm sure you'll find something of note in his study.
Did he have any new lifestyle changes or anything such?
No, he was out a lot of it than he always was. He was a private investigator, as I'm sure you would understand, Walter.
I understand completely.
I know you're not Walter.
I'm Walter.
Yes, I do.
She did address the doctor. Thank you, Mrs. Carraway. We would fully understand if you feel the need to go and be with Rose while she's struggling to process this terrible news.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. If you just let go up the stairs, and it's the second door on the right, and there you'll find my husband's, or rather my ex-husband's, study. Although, is he technically an ex if he's dead, or am I just a widower? I'm not sure of the mechanics entirely.
Do you mean your right or my right?
Well, it's the right as you go up the stairs.
Right.
You can only go up the stairs one way.
Yeah, the good doctor might want to go backwards up the stairs since he's being a little peculiar, so you never know.
I will trust you with the directions there, Mr. Snide.
Thank you very, very much for your help. And if you need anything at all, do not hesitate to ask myself or my husband, because we owe you so much.
I shouldn't like to burden anyone. Just if you excuse me.
You really won't be a burden. Well, if you need anything at all, we're there to help.
Feel you need to, you know, have a couple of weeks in the asylum, here's a contact number.
Come, doctor, it's time to go and
investigate
the study.
Rather than the asylum, if you need to take Rose to our estates in the country, you're welcome to come along.
So, yeah, she motions to the stairs, and, yeah, where do you go from there?
We shall go up the stairs.
What does the house look like? Does it look, well kept? Does it look like it's falling apart? Does it look untidy?
It's not untidy, but clearly she's had a lot to do, so appearances have sort of slipped a bit. She's had a lot on her mind. But it's a fairly regular, normal, middle-of-the-road house. It's not particularly luxurious.
Are there a lot of, jackets or anything by the door?
Jackets? No. Just the ones that you would have left, because you're all very polite people, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I am going to head up to the study, because as I worked with him, I know where it is, because we used to have some late nights.
Just be told where it is.
Yeah, it's really hard to find. Sure.
Yeah, we've all been told how to get to the study. Go to the damn study.
Let's go to the study.
Ooh. So you go up the stairs. There are a total of 3 doors, 2 on the right and 1 on the left.
Check out the first to the right, then.
The first on the right is the master bedroom. It has a large double bed. It's fairly standard. It's got a nice dresser to one side, a wardrobe, nice view outside through the window. The bed is a bit unkempt. She clearly hasn't been making it every night, and there's a few boxes with the wardrobe open.
Can we check the wardrobe?
The wardrobe only contains women's clothing.
So she's unpacked his stuff already.
Well, it must have been at least a week.
In 4 days.
Well, the funeral was a few days ago.
Yeah, but they had time to do the autopsy before that. He will have been dead for much longer than 4 days. And I can see how it could be cathartic to not have to come across her late husband's possessions.
How long has she been married for? Because
she's just a loony. Might be that as well.
Well, their daughter is 6.
Majority of my patients, after they have lost a loved one, do not tend to move on for several weeks.
Which year in the 1920s are we actually in?
1924.
So it's post-Great Depression?
Yes.
Okay, so she's probably sold all her stuff for that. Fair enough.
Yeah. Can we do sort of a perception check to see if there's anything interesting lodged behind the...
Funnily enough,
wardrobe and stuff like that?
That would probably come down to the PI in me, because I have the highest perception.
Well, Walter, since you're such a PI, why don't you do the honors?
Oh, I think I manage.
Whoever suggests it gets to fucking roll it.
just fell over there.
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Rose, do be careful. Don't trip over. Don't run with the tea tray.
I quickly crouch down and...
I do worry about that child being left alone.
Snaffle something up into my pocket. Well, she doesn't appear to be in any danger. No. And really, we can't know what sort of danger the both of them may be in until we actually investigate what happened to poor Neil.
Hmm. She's got her beer as well. So
she seems a little unhinged, that, I would say.
You said that like it was a joke, but I'm not getting the joke.
No joke. She seems a little unhinged.
She seems batty.
It's the French accent.
It might be the French accent throwing us off. So yes, you do find, you can see behind the wardrobe, the carpet looks like it's been pulled away a bit. And you look behind it and you find this small circular device. You are not sure what it is yet.
Can we examine it in any way?
What size is it?
It is about the size of a 50 pence piece.
Does it look sharpened?
No, it's fairly round and it has a bit of mesh covering one side of it.
Does it weigh the same as a coin?
It doesn't look like a coin, no. It's just about the size of a coin.
Does it look like it's part of some kind of contraption? Maybe something mechanical?
It is clearly some sort of device, yes.
I will have a look at it. Can I roll a...
You certainly can. Yeah, you recognize it as a small transceiver. Someone was listening in.
I have found a transceiver. Someone is listening to us.
What?
God.
How could they be listening to us?
This device here is a radio transceiver.
Good God, man. How are they transmuting from that?
As a mechanic, Victor is aware that nearby there must be a larger transmission. Point. This is just the microphone.
Oh, the anachronisms.
There's a little wire.
So, they do not have much range, so nearby there must be a receiver.
So, this is the thing to listen to what's coming in.
I'm going to look out the window and see if I can see a paddy wagon or anything outside close by.
Is this the thing that they are listening on, or the thing they're listening from?
This is what they're listening from.
Right, so why has it got a thing in his bedroom? Oh dear. It's not one of those things.
He's probably listening to his wife. He's probably suspecting her of cheating or something like that.
I would hate to think that woman does those kind of things. You just don't think of those things.
It's very vulgar.
There was no paddy wagon outside, no.
Thank you.
Especially one with a large rotating satellite dish. Also, they totally had radios in the 1920s.
I'm going to head over to the study.
Yes. Right. Concealed bugs? No.
Can we follow the wire?
You can. It's a very delicate wire, however.
Yes.
It's not requiring much. It's just walking along, looking at it on the floor.
Yeah, just don't pull on it.
Yeah.
So, we follow it. What do we find?
It goes into the wall.
Which wall?
It goes into the wall.
Towards the study, perhaps? Wall.
Yes, towards the study.
Okay. Yeah.
To the study.
Right. Before we go any further, make a hole in that wall. Let's find out which direction it goes.
No, don't make a hole. Don't make a hole.
Why? Are not doing that, Doctor.
We're not stupid, Doctor.
That's a wire. It obviously goes somewhere.
We are respecting the family. We shall check the study first.
Yeah.
Well, weren't you going to find the study in the first place?
Yes, we were, Doctor. Come along now. Let us check the study.
Yeah, take one of your drinks before you come so you can calm down a little bit.
I'm going to put my hand on the doctor's arm and guide him out of the room.
Okay, so you have manhandled the doctor out of the room. Where should you go next?
Remember, I have a hammer if we need a hole.
To the other door on the right, hammer. We'll say the study.
Yeah.
But which door was that study then, Mr. P.I.?
The right one.
The one on your right or my right?
I'm going to stand in the doorway and make notes about each of them and what they are doing in the study.
So yes, you're in the study. It's a relatively small room. There's a desk piled high with papers and old black and white photographs. And there's one of those boards with like the red string on it. And there's a small safe in the corner.
Is it order or chaos?
Well, there's a big pile of papers on the table. It's not like filed away or anything. It's quite chaotic.
If you looked at the room, would you say it's order or chaos?
Ah.
Generally.
It's fairly, I guess, chaotic. It's not like someone had been looking through it or anything, if that's what you're hinting at. So it's not like someone had ransacked the place.
We just need to work out, is this man a methodical man? As in, would he put things where we think they're going to be, or would he be quite, they could go anywhere and only he would know? This is what we're trying to establish.
He was my husband's Batman during the war, so he's probably quite methodical and tidy. He kept my husband's things brilliantly well.
Is there a layer of dust around the room because obviously it's been closed since his death?
There is a layer of dust, yes.
Can we identify any area where the dust has been disturbed?
If you roll a perception, you can try. No, you can't. Do you know what? It's just so dusty that it gets in your eyes and you blink really hard, but you just can't see. Your eyes start to water a bit. You can push your luck if you can come up with a reason why, and you would spend one of your lucks to lower the roll by one.
I think I will spend one of my lucks to lower it because as I work with them, I know the room, so I'm able to identify it just a little better than anyone coming in from the outside.
So you've been here before then, Walter?
Yes.
How many times?
Many times, as I worked with him.
Oh, were you his partner or something?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he always worked alone.
No, he's been raising me and showing me how to do the work. He took me under his wing.
Raising you?
Yeah, it's not what we call a partner, it's what we call a protege.
I see.
Mr. Carraway was very kind about trying to help people have a step up to get them established in their careers.
I see.
I'm quite surprised that it looks like the police have not been in this office at all. That seems very odd, especially if they say they found something strange about the autopsy.
Well, that was just the ramblings of a delusional woman, so we don't really know that, but...
Maybe
yeah.
They did try and explain it to her. The poor woman maybe not didn't understand what was wrong.
In response, sorry, to Walter's second glance over, he noticed some scratches on the floor by one of the legs of the desk that he doesn't remember being there.
Uh-huh.
What have you found, Walter?
I don't know. I'll have to look.
You made a noise as if you'd found something, so...
Yes, and I'm not quite sure I trust you yet, Doctor, having only just met.
Well, I'm not sure I trust a 32-year-old man who became an apprentice.
Yep. You perhaps see any resemblance of a receiver of some kind down there, Walter?
I'm assuming another perception check to have a look.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, you can see something behind, you know, like a desk that's got like the backboard to it.
Yes.
You can just see the bottom of something attached to the wall behind it.
Then I shall investigate.
Do you want to move the desk?
Yeah.
You can move the desk. It's a desk. It's not that heavy.
Fair enough. Moving
the desk. Are you going to clear the top of that desk first before you move it?
Well...
I mean, there's lots of papers there. They could get scattered and we never find the order again.
Yes, but it moved and scratched, so we can just do the same again.
Yeah, well, we can hold the papers.
I'm not keen on this, but go ahead.
Start going through them.
Yeah. I'll help with that.
Can you see any wires?
What you see is there's a large, like a fairly chunky little metal box that's been sort of riveted into the wall. Well, I suppose not riveted, screwed into the wall. You don't really rivet to a wall, I guess. It just says Acme Radios on the front.
I have a screwdriver.
Victor, can you get us in?
I have a screwdriver. I shall unscrew it.
Sure, you unscrew it off the wall. The back isn't covered and you can see a space where a large sort of lead acid battery would go to power the device.
Uh-huh.
It needs a battery.
It has a battery in it.
Ah, it has a battery. How lucky.
You're not a very good mechanic, are you?
I'm the greatest.
Can we listen to it somehow, this device, perhaps?
I click a button on the device and I find a recording. Yeah?
A little sort of tape reel pops out.
Ooh.
Are we talking film?
Yeah, like an old sort of tape reel.
So
as
he's been recording his wife
visual?
On tape
reel. Audio.
This device, does it play it back in any way?
No, it's just a recorder.
Then we must find a recorder. Check the room to see if there's one around.
You found a recorder. Yes. That is what you've just got the tape from.
Do I do a perception check for the player, please?
That's what I meant, the player.
No, there's no players in this room. It's all just pens, paper. There's a safe.
There's a say.
Walter, do you have any reason why he would be recording his wife?
Off the top of my head, no.
You've been here enough times. I mean, did his wife ever seem suspicious or nosy?
Yes, Doctor. We've all been with people many times, and everyone has secrets.
Were you with his wife? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, Doctor. I was not.
You seem reluctant to talk about this, so...
Well,
because, Doctor, given your nature, I'd rather you not turn up in the middle of the night and hurt me.
Given the mental state of his wife, I think he might want to see if there's anything going on with her. So, yeah.
He may have been recording her to check on her health.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
maybe he suspected an affair.
I'm pretty sure that the eyes often tend to be out at odd hours of the day and night. And I am surprised, Doctor, that you seem so unaware of just how concerning living with someone who you were worried about could have been for poor Neil.
I remember Neil well. He didn't seem the suspicious type, especially to record his own wife.
A PI seems like he was.
It may have been concern rather than suspicion.
Neil was not.
Are we sure it was him recording?
Well, the only other person we know that's been here has been Walter.
Maybe she was recording him.
But that's not how it would work.
But the wife could have been recording Neil.
Exactly.
But why would she record him behind
his own desk?
Can we see if there's anything else of interest in his room?
There's a safe.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, apart from the obvious.
There's the safe, there's the notes on the table. I keep calling it a table, it's a desk. There's a couple of drawers on the desk. And there's the notice board with the red sort of thread.
Well, let's have a look through the drawers then.
Yeah, I can check the notes to see if there's anything interesting there as well.
I'll have a look at the safe, see if I can do anything with that.
Yeah, I would say for the safe, if you're looking through the safe, you could probably leverage mechanics / engineer, and everything else would be perception or street smarts for McBride to do the safe.
Well, I'll have a crack on it then as well. Yeah.
So you use a little bit of percussive engineering and you just hit the sort of hinges with your wrench. And it's not a very good safe, it's a fairly cheap safe, and the door just sort of falls off. There's an old revolver and about $50.
Fantastic! I shall look after this.
Is that loaded?
No, give it to the wife.
The money to the wife, yeah.
Don't touch it. It belongs to the family.
The gun is not loaded, but there is also a small box of rounds. 12 rounds.
I meant the gun, not the money.
I don't remember Neil having a gun license.
Is it his old service revolver?
Sure.
So we don't find anything other interesting stuff in the notes on the desk?
Yeah, so Walter tries to look through the notes, but he's a bit clumsy. He knocks them all over. But luckily, the most recent one lands on the top, on the floor. And it says, essentially, that Neil was investigating a missing reporter and that she worked for the Daily Horn and that she was investigating sweet shops in the area. Just a sort of fluff piece on sweet shops.
That's not good. I know what's going on in sweet shops. Oh yeah, it's not just ordinary sweets going on.
This recent crave for sweet shops is not good for everyone.
As this is another journalist, do I know them?
You don't know them personally, but you are familiar with... It's sort of the rival newspaper to yours. Yeah, the Daily Horn's the sort of, it's the more up and coming, it's the bigger one. And you've always had a little bit of a rivalry. What is your newspaper company called, by the way?
The Virginia Post.
The Virginia Post. The Daily Horn has always been a bit bigger than the Virginia Post.
Is Penelope at the same one as Tilly?
No, I write for Independent Women's Magazine. Articles for the genteel young ladies. So that's how I know the difference between a pound cake and a Victoria sponge cake. How to cope with your man comes back from the war missing a leg. That sort of thing.
Fair enough then.
Yeah. I'm going to go head over to the last room on the upper floor. See if there's anything out of interest in there.
That is just Rosa's bedroom. There's a large teddy bear with a little hat on it. It's got a little fedora.
Is there anything of interest on the notice board with all the red tape and ribbons and things?
Do a world knowledge. It was the last case he was working before. It's already been solved. It was the case of a chef that had been murdered, and he found the murderer.
What was the name of this girl he was investigating?
She was called Lauren Cresswell.
Lauren Cresswell. Does he have any notes about her? I mean, the Neil we know would make thousands and thousands of pages of notes about this, and...
Well, clearly you didn't know him very well, because he didn't.
Well, he seemed to.
I may not have made notes if it was early in the case. Can I make a roll to see if I have any knowledge of people locally who have issues with journalists? And what would that be? Would that be...
Just make a roll. Networking, I think, actually.
Networking? Okay.
You're familiar with some people who don't like some of the stuff you've written. Name a piece you've written.
The seedy underbelly of local asylums.
Yeah, the asylum people just fucking hated that and they don't like you.
Did you get some nasty letters at the newspaper from Dr. Zildare?
I don't remember being signed by Dr. Zildare. In fairness, though, most of the letters weren't signed, but...
You do recall getting one from the Crown... Written on, like, not furniture, stationery. Just someone
bit difficult to get a note or something if it's on the furniture.
Someone threw a chair. To write notes on the furniture.
Someone threw a monogram chair through your window with the logo for the Crown Infirmary for the clinically insane.
Yes.
And it had a little note pinned to it. So now you have a nice chair back home.
I mean, it.
But you said it was through the office window.
Oh, yeah, but you took it home.
Oh.
It's a little trophy. Girl.
Well, it was addressed to me.
Yeah.
It's quite nice to have your own monogram chair.
It would be nicer if it wasn't monogrammed for the Crown Asylum for the Clinically Insane.
Oh, they're all lovely down there.
Really?
They get things in their heads and they act badly, but they're lovely down there.
I'm afraid I undercovered some unpleasantness. Not least, people locking up family members who had money in order to get a hold of that money. It's a shame that some parts of the medical profession are not as ethical as others.
Yeah, it's quite clear that Dr. Adrian doesn't have any money, so he's not one of them locking them up. He's trying
money,
to peddle his
wares.
Walking
around here.
Exactly.
Also, doctor, how do you know so much about the asylum?
I'm a doctor.
Or were you a resident there?
No, I'm a doctor. If someone's not well, we tend them to the asylum. That's how they get better. That's why asylums are there.
I love the idea.
As a private eye who doesn't know about asylums, I'm more worried about you, Walter.
I love the idea that Walter's entire PI career is just spent shooting out wild accusations with no basis and something sticks.
So guys, should we maybe try to find some sort of tape recorder or listening device so we can listen to this magnificent tape we got? Maybe we could check with the wife, see if she's got one anywhere.
So, just want to check. We've looked through the drawers, we've looked on the map, we've looked at the desk.
We've looked
is there anything else?
In the safe.
We've looked through the study, we have looked.
Yeah, you've even invaded the young girl's room.
Yeah, let's not say it like that.
I want to ask the wife if she's... When removing all of her husband's things, she removed any, like, recording equipment or anything?
Just before we go back and find, or while the doctor goes to find the wife, could I do a perception check to try and find any aiding cupboards or storage areas that are upstairs in the house?
Or a loft.
Indeed, a loft.
Yeah, sure. There would be a loft. You can roll to find the loft, I guess.
Well, more roll to see if there's any hidden compartments.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. We can see the hatch of the loft, but I was looking to see if there was linen cupboards, airing cupboards, things where other things might be stashed.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, you find there's an airing cupboard. It's full of linen. That's it. There's not really any hidden things.
That's unfortunate.
Did we have a specific list of the sweet shops that he was investigating? Or is it just sweet shops?
Just sweet shops. He clearly hadn't gotten very far in the investigation, at least not from what you can see here.
Yeah, we should probably go to the newspaper and look around there first and see if we can get any clues about where she was.
Sorry, did you mean look around there?
What?
I heard lick around there.
Yeah, you're distracted by the thought of lollipops, dear Walter.
Yeah. You're a PI, so you hear what you want to hear.
He wasn't the only one that had that.
Thank you!
We have more filthy people with us. Oh, goddammit.
So the doctor has gone down asking the wife.
Yes, I forgot what you were asking the wife exactly in
when
the midst
you,
of all that.
When you tidied your... You've obviously, you know, parted with several of your husband's belongings. Did you part with any recording equipment or tapes or even handwritten notes?
Recording equipment? Heavens no, we have a radio. but that's about it. And I shouldn't ever hope to get rid of the little love notes he wrote me. I keep them in a little small box. Perish the thought of getting rid of those.
But what did you do with your husband's belongings then that were left upstairs?
Mostly his clothes. I donated them to the local homeless shelter.
Very fast after.
Despite it being the 1920s, I do care about the homeless.
Well, it's after the Great Depression. It's, you know, there's a lot of people out there with no homes.
There are, quite frankly. I'd like to see them off my doorstep, so at least if they're going to be there, they can wear some nice clothes.
I didn't know you felt such way.
Well, my husband was a bit of a snappy dresser, and at least it tidies the place up.
So, is it just your husband's clothes you got rid of?
Yes, all the other clothes are mine and my daughter's, and I rather need those to wear.
Yes, but I notice a lack of, like, jewellery, of, like, watches, of such things.
Oh, well, when they found his body, the watch was missing. And he only did have the one. It was from his grandfather, you see.
Yes. What was he wearing the night he disappeared? Well, the night he was, unfortunately, you know, killed.
Just one of his suits. It was a brown one, if I recall. I don't see the importance of what he was wearing.
It's always important, Elodie. And
which
department of the police did the autopsy? I wish to inquire them.
That would be the autopsy department. The coroner.
The autopsy department. Okay.
Yeah.
Why would I'm just a housewife. I wouldn't do such things.
You wouldn't do what things?
I wouldn't know such things. Such grisly details are not befitting a young woman in the 1920s.
True, true.
A little question. Is there a basement, perhaps?
No, we have a small shed where we keep the small trinkets like tools and the occasional bottle of wine that my husband would be given if he did a good job from certain clients.
Would that be his prohibition?
Would it be okay to if we checked out the shed?
Well, they were given to him before then and it seemed such a shame to throw them out.
They probably wouldn't be any good anymore unless they were really high quality wine. I mean, it's been 8 years.
I mean, I haven't really paid much attention to it. The wine was more his thing.
That's fine, Mrs. Carraway.
I would prefer the brandy, although I haven't had one in a long time, of course. I'm sure you know. And she just looks around really shiftily.
I'm absolute evil.
Last question, m'lady. Did your husband start any strange or abnormal conversations in the bedroom?
My dear doctor, I would thank you to leave right now.
Not of that kind, dear lady. I mean, did he ask you...
You have very much overstayed your welcome, good doctor. Please
doctor,
leave.
I think I'm going to escort you from the premises.
Yeah.
You get your hands off me, you fiend.
I escort the doctor from the premises.
Yeah.
I punch Walter in the face.
I sneak it quietly.
Yep, punch him in the face.
Yep, so do I!
Both punch each other in the face, and you just feel like idiots.
Yep.
Please leave the pair of you before I call the police. Walter, I expected better of you, quite frankly.
Both of you, get out! This is completely unfair, Mrs. Carraway.
Gentlemen, what is this madness?
Oh, I feel the hysteria taking over already. Please leave.
No.
Hello. Heavens, the vapors.
Get out!
Let's go, guys.
Mrs. Carraway, can I help you with anything?
I just need to lie down, thank you, dear. If you'd please just give me some alone time.
Certainly. I hope you're feeling better soon. And
thank you, although I do hope you keep better company normally.
Oh yes, of course.
And I snicker again.
Once everyone else is out the room, I'm going to offer Mrs. Carraway a small restorative drink.
Ah, yes, a restorative drink. Thank you. Very medicinal. It's got herbs in it, I hear.
Oh, yes. I find they are the best for the nerves.
I hear they make them out of juniper these days.
It's positively a health tonic.
Yes, thank you. I do appreciate it. Now, please, if you just leave me to my rest.
Yes, of course. Make sure everyone else is out of the house. Let's go round the back, look in the shed.
Yes, it's about time.
So yeah, there's two buildings out the back. There's one that's a bit narrower, one that's a bit broader. The narrow one has a moon carved into the door.
Might be an outhouse then.
That must be an outhouse, yes.
Can we check which edition of the almanac they've got in there?
I think maybe we should check just to make sure it is an outhouse.
Yeah. Do we need to roll perception for that, or can we just use our noses?
No, it is in fact an outhouse.
I'm going to check it out anyways, because he might have hidden something in the outhouse.
It's worth a look.
Yeah.
Go for a perception check. Someone has certainly left something there, yeah.
I will go and do a proper check.
Yeah. No.
Yep. Someone. Yes. Someone had sweet corn for dinner. The almanac is in fact last year's copy, as it is only the beginning of July and the new issue has not been given out yet, to answer your question, Miss Penelope.
Thank you.
Then, to the other.
Yeah.
You open the door, it's a shed, there's a sort of workbench on one side with some tools like a small hand saw, there's a hammer, there's a wrench, a couple of screwdrivers of different sizes.
Just have a little look at the tools there. Point them up.
Yeah, could you perhaps pass me like a screwdriver? It might be useful later on, Victor.
Here you go.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So, you're comfortable stealing this old woman's tools?
Well, she's not gonna use a screwdriver anytime soon, so.
She might decide to do some DIY.
Yeah.
If she doesn't, she may end up selling the tools to make a little bit of money.
Yeah, well, I'm going to use it.
She wants to sell so far.
Yeah.
So far.
It's going to come to better use in our hands, so.
Snide by name, eh?
It's still stealing. You're wrong.
Of course it is. What do you think I do for a living?
Hopefully not break the law, young man.
Of course.
That sounds very like a confession, doesn't it?
Yes.
Interesting. Writing it down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tilly, I remember when I used to give you services as well. Don't come talking to me about...
Don't say that to a young lady.
I don't know what you're talking about, Snide.
No, of course
now,
you don't.
Put that screwdriver back, young man.
Mr. McBride, I'm ashamed of you. I snatched the screwdriver back from you.
I think you'll have to roll in some kind of way to avoid you.
Also, I just want to point out that you handed him the screwdriver.
Yeah.
I did not know he was going to steal it.
What are you rolling that against?
I did not know he was going to steal it, man. Look at him thieving things since we got here. Someone should shake him by the ankles. He's probably got half of her jewelry.
Listen to the liar.
Yeah. Snide keeps a hold of the screwdriver.
Now, can we focus on more interesting thing than a screwdriver, please?
We need to find something interesting. Can I do a perception check? I would quite like to find possibly a method of playing back this audio tape, which I'm going to assume that our dear Victor has brought with him.
I have the tape right in my pocket.
And I believe that Mr. McBride here may indeed have found one.
Who? Huh?
No, that was to fight over the screwdriver, those rolls
are
for.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But our PI just thought maybe found something.
Maybe Walter has an office which has a tape player.
No, there's no sort of audio equipment here either. Although Walter does find... It's very cleverly hidden with a sort of cloth that's been painted so it looks like it's part of the wall.
Then I would like to move the Heidi cloth aside to see what it is hiding.
Yeah, the Heidi cloth has those aforementioned two bottles of wine that he was gifted all those years back. Although maybe not that far back, because some of the people he helps out weren't always on the up and up.
Yes, if he was handed them that far back, he would still have been in the trenches.
Why did he cover them with a cloth?
Mr. Snyder,
this is prohibition!
Prohibition.
Alcohol has been against the law in Virginia since 1916.
I'm going to go and pour them out.
Maybe you should
check if there's vintage wine first before you pour them out.
Walter, if they're not being used, just leave them. I don't think Mrs. Carraway could deal with any more shocks at the moment.
No. Okay. Only for you, though.
Try and find the alcohol. That's going to be a really big shock. So surely we should get rid of it, just to make sure she's safe.
I think the less we interfere with things, the better.
I think the poor woman is drinking enough on the side without having to take this.
She told us she didn't like the wine anyway, so it really doesn't matter. It might be something
would you like wine at the moment?
Of course I would if I was actually liking wine, but yeah.
In fairness...
Alcohol is the devil's work.
Yes, you are quite right, Miss Pendleton.
Oh my God.
Mrs. Pendleton, my apologies.
As well.
Could we move some of the bottles and see if there's anything underneath them?
You can. There's nothing underneath them, though. It's just a sort of hidden wine rack with a couple of bottles on it.
Okay.
With my mechanic's eye, can I do a kind of look around the room and see if I can spot something that would work as a tape player?
Sure.
You're trying to MacGyver up something. Wow!
No, there's nothing that you could use to MacGyver. Or MacGyver,
Miguel. As I am a PI, would it be sensible to say that I would have recording and playing equipment in my own office?
You mean what I suggested 10 minutes ago?
Yes, but I'm just trying to move it on.
Well, on lack of something else to do, I'd like to go and speak to the coroner.
Maybe we should split up and some go check the audio recording and some go talk to the autopsy guys.
Will they not all be in the same place?
So no. You have three
one
leads
is
then.
One the PI and one is at the police department.
Yeah, one is at the newspaper.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna take my notepad out from my pocket and using my pencil I'll write down the number of my phone line and say, I'm going to my office, here's my number, tell me what they say at the coroner's.
Yeah.
Your phone, that's very advanced.
Okay, thank you.
That sounds like a plan. I think I will use my street smarts at the newspaper. Don't think I have any use for it at the coroner's office, so I'm gonna head over to the newspaper.
So we're going to three different places now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but only for a short while. I mean, it can't take that long for you to go home and just listen to it.
Can I actually have the recording?
I guess that's up to Victor.
Hand him the recording.
Okay, Walter, but you must look after it.
I shall look after it better than you do your accent.
Victor,
I don't know
why don't you tell you?
I don't think you should give it to him. I mean, he's already been at this location several times, and he seems to not know very much. It could easily be for him to destroy the evidence.
Perhaps.
Walter, you are very suspicious of everyone.
Victor, perhaps you could go with Walter.
I should go with him. Make sure he doesn't foul the tape.
Come, Victor.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Okay, I'm coming.
May I suggest that one of the journalists goes with our dear doctor to the coroner's office to record what they're saying?
I will.
And then maybe...
Acquainted with the coroner's office.
Cool. Right. Maybe Penelope can come with me to the newspaper then, because you're a journalist, you know your way around. And you're far better looking than I am.
Right, so we have Penelope and Snide going to the newspaper, yeah?
Yeah.
Just on where everyone's going.
Yeah, someone has to keep his fingers from picking up illegal things.
Tilly and the doctor to the coroner's, and Victor and Walter
going
to
the around the world cruise.
Yeah.
Well, Penelope, you can hold my fingers anytime.
Let's get Walter out of the way then.
I feel like I'm going to be found in a socky cement shoes situation.
How are you getting to your office? Do one of you own a car?
Well, as I'm a PI and have got a lot of places to go.
Of course I have a car. I am a mechanic.
I honestly thought he just said, because I'm a pianist.
Because I'm a PI, I need to do a lot of searching. I have a Model T.
Sure, he's driving together or he's going in separate cars then.
How the hell do either of you afford a car?
I built it.
I'm a private investigator.
Why don't you describe...
No, just no.
I have my driver waiting outside, so I'm sure we can drop him off if necessary.
Describe your homemade car, Victor.
You would not understand.
Well, I'm sure I would.
It's too technical for you.
I'm starting to doubt your mechanical prowess.
How very dare you, Doctor? Oh, you're not a doctor, are you? How very dare you, Walter? Right, let us be off on one of our cars to your
The Perry's drive to Walter's office. It's your office, Walter. Describe your office.
It's second floor office with one of those pane glass windows with PI on the stained windows. As I walk in, it's neat, tidy, and organized. Everything has its proper place. The curtains are drawn closed to prevent people from having a look in, going down the fire escape at the back of the building.
Does anyone feel like saxophone should be playing in the background?
Walter, why does it say pie on your window?
Yeah, reading it from the other side of the window.
Call
it says pie.
What you call a snake that's exactly 3.14 meters long? A
python.
Oh, God. Oh, lovely, right?
Uh-huh. Okay, so there you go. You're in your office. What are you going to do?
I'm going to open up the cabinet containing the recording equipment, put the reel inside, and hit play.
Wait, do you know what you're doing?
Of course I do.
Just making sure.
Roll mechanics, Walter.
Victor?
What can we hear?
Walter's the one doing it.
Yeah, I know.
You're the one putting it in. Roll mechanics.
A magic voice in the sky, what can we hear from the tape?
I'll tell you once Walter rolls mechanics.
Oh, Walter, I thought you said Victor.
No.
I love it how the two guys with a V or a W Walt went away together.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, so once you put it in, I also wouldn't have done this if you didn't make a point of being like, you know how to do it.
Thanks, man.
Give it to you, I know what I'm doing. I'm a mechanic, for God's sake.
The damage is done, so the
you
tape
dumb
is...
bugger.
There is some distortion to the tape. It does sound a bit scratchy, but from what you can hear, it's just normal husband and wife stuff. There's a bit of an argument about money. They go to bed, you hear Nessie complaining to Neil that he's always at work and he's never here. They talk about a book that Nessie's been reading, and they're clearly trying for another child, but that's about it.
Oh, that kind.
I see.
It's fairly banal.
Well, that was worth it.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to do in your office?
No, we're done here.
Sure. I close the door as he leaves and sit down on my chair to think.
Are you not coming with me? Seeing as though we came in your car and now I've got to walk.
But you're a mechanic. You can build another one.
I shall hotwire your car and drive it off.
Go for it, roll mechanics. Yep.
Bye bye, Walter.
Walter is sitting at his desk, deep in thought, when he hears an engine start and then the screech of wheels. His car just sort of tears away.
Well, he's been quite stupid, as we said, to give us a ring here with the results of the other tests.
If he goes to the police department, he'll find some of us anyway.
And the police, who will actually arrest him for stealing my car.
I'm just borrowing it.
And also only if you report it, which you haven't said you're doing.
I'm awfully tempted.
So I'm driving over to the police station.
Sure.
So,
to the police station we are. Tilly and the good doctor.
Yes.
Good in inverted commas. Go up to the police station and there's a man on the desk. He goes, "Hello, welcome to the Virginia Police Station. How can I help you?"
"Good evening, Thomas. I wish to speak to the coroner."
"Thomas, who the hell's Thomas? My
name are you,
is
then?"
"Lewis. I'm Lewis the policeman."
"Where's Thomas?"
"I used to work on the beat, but they caught me killing a criminal who he wasn't technically a criminal, so now I'm on the desk."
"Why didn't they just fire you?"
"Because my daddy, he's the man in charge, you see. He's the commissioner."
"Oh, doctor, right, police never get fired. You see?"
"Anyway,
I
am a doctor and I want to speak to your coroner."
"No, I swear."
"Where are you from? I can't quite make out the accent."
"Oh, hello."
"That was a quick drive."
"Well, would you be able..."
"Are you going to leave that car parked outside there, Victor? It looks very dangerous."
"It is fine. It's not my car."
"Please move that car out of the doorway, you strange Frenchman."
"Excuse
me. I'll come back it up and park it up."
"Excuse me, Constable. Would it be possible for us to have contact details for the coroner? You see, we're friends of the family of poor Mr. Neil Carraway, who was found dead some time ago, and his wife doesn't know what happened, and we're trying to help set her mind at rest. You wouldn't happen to have access to any of the files for the case, would you?"
"I don't have access to anything. I'm just the desk man now. Old Bonesaw is in, but I'm afraid I'll need to see some credentials as to whether I can let you see him or not."
"Well, I'm a doctor. What do you need?"
"I mean, you don't look like much like a doctor."
"Ask me something medical then."
"Dr. Sildare, you have your home visiting doctor's bag, don't you?"
"Yes."
"That may be sufficient evidence."
"Okay, so I hold up my doctor's certificate of being a doctor."
"How do I know that's real medicine in there?
Would
How
like
do I
try
know
some?
It's not just a prop?"
"Would you like to try some?"
"Sure."
"Okay.
Sir, that may not be necessary. Here is my credentials from the Virginia Post. I am a journalist there."
"The Virginia Post? That rag sheet of a newspaper? You only write about how terrible we are."
"I certainly do not."
"Well, what about that slanderous case about a young beat cop who shot a man who didn't turn out to be a criminal?
He
was coming
at..."
"Do you mean you?"
He was coming right at me."
"Well, I don't think things have ended that badly for you, considering you murdered a man."
"It was self-defense."
"How about
That's
you let us
Daddy
go and
says.
See the coroner, and she considers that? Writing an apology?"
"What if you wrote a piece saying that you were wrong and that it was a criminal I shot?"
"Well, how about this? She'll consider doing that if you let her see the coroner."
Roll charm.
"Fuck."
No, I'm not sure I trust you. You seem quite a shady individual, quite frankly, sir. Victor, I thought you were parking that car, not racing past.
Sorry, I got carried away.
I'll have to write you a ticket.
He pulls out
a pad and writes a ticket that says, speeding.
Well, while he goes outside to write him a letter, can we look on the sort of desk behind him and find out where the coroner is?
You can.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and I'm assuming that will be perception?
Yeah, it would be perception.
Well, I'm useless.
Yep, I'm fine.
Yeah, there's a sort of small map of the building on one wall for visitors. And there's a large key with a big tag on it that says Coroner's Office.
Okay, take that and go off while the desk staff is excitedly running after Victor to give him a ticket.
My car!
I'm afraid that car'll have to be impounded.
No!
That's fine, I'm so sure the tape will be along soon enough.
So Victor's getting a ticket, Tilly and the good doctor make their way to the coroner's office.
Yep.
Where they find...
emphasizing the good doctor.
I'm a very good doctor.
It's because I keep forgetting his name. So you get there's a doctor, he's got a sort of bone saw and he's hacking his way at a cadaver's arm. How did you get in here? What are you doing here? Who are you?
We were sent here to speak to you.
Sent here by who?
Oh, someone will speak to you later. No, I want to talk to you about... I've got his fucking name.
Neil Carraway.
Neil Carraway.
Some quite important.
Neil Carraway? Well, it was a most unusual case, I am. I need more information. Who are you? And I need to know that I can trust you.
Well, don't you trust a fellow doctor?
Not one that looks like you, quite frankly.
I think you'll find my doctor's license is well endowed.
Excuse me, doctor. Facing the coroner. I'm... a friend of the Carraway family. Now, I knew Neil and his wife for many years, and Mrs. Carraway seems to be getting some strange ideas in her head about how her husband died, and we were hoping that if you could tell us some of your results from the autopsy, we could help set her mind at rest. She needs to be healthy. She has a young daughter to care for. And then roll charm?
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, you have to promise this does not leave this room.
Yes, of course, Doctor.
Well, we know what killed him as such, but we don't know how it happened, you see.
Oh, I see.
God damn it, are those French racing outside again?
Hello!
My car!
You stop right there, you frog!
Catch me if you can!
I'll catch you like I caught that not actually a criminal. Well, you see, when we did the autopsy, when we cut into him, he didn't bleed, you see. All the blood, it was almost like it had crystallized. It got solid, you see. It's very strange indeed. We don't have no idea how it happened. We tested some of it and found an unusually high concentration of sugar. There are diabetic patients, and we've seen them die. But it is nothing like this.
Yes, and I don't diabetics, think the man doctor, had a... typically don't live beyond 21.
Well, yes, and this man had a fairly clean bill of health. Aside from all the smoking, but as we all know, that's good for you.
That is good for you. It helps, you know, extend the stomach and...
Yes, it helps clear out the tubes.
Did you say he was desanguinated?
No, his blood was all there. It was just solid. It almost crystallized.
Was it?
No, it was solid at room temperature. It wasn't frozen. It was almost like it had crystallized.
So what actually killed him, then?
The fact that his blood wasn't flowing, I suspect, but we don't know what caused that to happen.
I mean, did his heart impact?
I mean, his heart is full of solid blood. It couldn't
yes,
beat.
Yes, but we've seen patients with panic have worse than this.
Good doctor, I am not convinced of your credentials.
I'm
sure you can understand, having solid blood would not be good for the health.
I didn't say it was good for the health. I was trying to establish whether this is pre or post mortem.
Well, we couldn't
find any
other...
What was the killing blow?
We couldn't find any other injuries, so... We are assuming this is the proximal cause of death,
so,
yes.
So, was his body more rigor mortis than usual?
Well, no, because, like I said, it was the blood is crystallized, it's quite brittle. So
yes,
we could still
then
move
he couldn't
limbs.
Move, he'd be solid, he wouldn't move.
But that is...
That's what bodies do, they don't move when they're corpses.
Yes, but, dear doctor, we're trying to establish whether his rigor mortis was kicked in as soon as you found the body.
You've got to understand, doctor, I don't see many living patients. I have a somewhat unique set of circumstances when it comes to my work, so...
Have you always been a coroner?
Yes, ever since I was a child.
Oh dear.
A child coroner!
So, the blood was crystallized. Were you able to find any unusual substances in the blood? Were you able to dissolve it or crush it to investigate further?
Only that it had an unusually high amount of sugar in it.
What were the stomach contents like?
Well, they had pierogies and there was even a panini.
Fuck off. You and your fucking paninis. What was the proper ingredient from the stomach?
We found some pastrami, and there was flour and dough from
flour?
The pierogi. Yes, from the dough from the pierogi, you see. He seemed to have been having a fairly normal diet.
Was this normal? I mean, most people these days don't see meat and that kind of stuff. It's a rich food.
Neil Carraway was not a poor man, Doctor.
Yes, but the Great Depression, people don't tend to eat with this extravagance.
Yes, but in the hard times, you see, he worked, as I'm sure you probably heard, it was quite well known, a little open secret. He worked for some of the seedier characters, and he managed to stay afloat in quite a nice little way doing that.
I see. I mean, was there any marks on the body or anything? What were his pupils like?
They were black, Doctor. Like all pupils.
Yes, but were they engorged? Were they dilated, dear doctor? You know, proper medical question.
No, they were just regular little pupils.
Right, so the sugar must have been post-mortem then, because if it'd been pre-mortem, they would have been changed.
If you say so. Look, if it'll get you out of my hair, I have a small sample of some of that blood. Will you leave if I give you some?
Yes, doctor.
We will. I have one or two slight questions about, like, teeth and such, but,
Yes, he has teeth.
What condition were they in, man?
They were teeth. He was a man of at least 30 years. They were starting to blacken.
Good.
As they would normally do about his age.
Well, if he was a smoker, then yes. But with the stomach contents being savory and the teeth being not normal, he can't have eaten that much sweet food. So why did his blood become sugar?
His blood was still blood.
But you told me it become...
No, it had
sugar.
A lot of sugar in it.
Okay, can I accept the sample of the blood and...
You can. He gives you a small vial with a little crystalline bit of red substance in the bottom.
What are you using as a anticoagulant?
I'm not. His blood is clearly coagulated. There's no point in trying to anticoagulate
it
at this point.
Yes, but it's just going to be a red husk after a while. You need to keep it slightly more fluid.
I mean, I tried all sorts of things, it just wouldn't work. I've tried pure ethanol, I've tried formaldehyde, I've tried that stuff that vampire bats dribble out. Nothing seems to work, man.
God, you put a lot of effort into this, man, haven't you?
I mean, it's a mystery of our time, quite frankly.
So which one is this? Which sample is this?
That's just some of his blood.
Well,
some of his weird crystalline
things.
Blood.
Which one of the things have you tried have you left with the sample?
That's nothing, that's just some of the blood that I was about to do some testing on. And I'm only giving it to you to get you to leave. Because quite frankly, Doctor, you're a joke, and you are wasting my time.
So why didn't you tell the wife what had happened to him?
Can you imagine what that would do to a woman? In the 1920s, she'd go mad.
Yes, but you could easily have told her heart attack, and she'd have been fine.
Doctor, I do not have to explain myself to the likes of you.
That's another doctor, I think you do.
Do not make me call in Constable Lewis here to have you removed. Kindly leave. I've told you all I know.
Fair enough.
So, what he's doing?
Well, I'm still at the office waiting for the call.
Unless Tilly has anything else to do with, I guess we're leaving.
We are leaving.
Okay, I'm going to lock him in as we leave.
Doctor!
He is a medical profession. He'll work his way out. And I leave the key on the counter as Lewis is still outside.
So, yeah, you get out to see Lewis impotently chasing after Victor in Walter's car, sort of. Victor just driving in circles.
My
and Lewis
car.
Going, you stop it right here. I have to give you this ticket. You'll be fined $15.
Goodness, that's a high fine.
Well, he shouldn't have angered Lewis, chief constable in waiting.
I see.
Okay. I assume then we have to cut to other people because I don't think Victor's going to stop anytime soon.
So
we have Snide and Penelope, yes, at the Daily Horn.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Penelope, that you take the lead here since you're a journalist, you know your way around, and I'll just keep my eyes and ears open, try to spot anything out of the ordinary.
Do we have the name of the journalist that he was investigating that worked here?
It was Lauren Cresswell. I assume you remember this.
It was Lauren Cresswell.
I just don't.
So yeah, you make your way to the offices. It's just in part of a sort of big, tall office block building. It's on the, let's say, the 11th floor. There's a receptionist. She goes, "Hello, how can I help you today? Welcome to the Daily Horn. If you have a story to sell, please tell me and I'll guide you to the proper people."
Hello, I've someone we could talk to about the late Lauren Cresswell. I'm looking at doing an article about the dangers of women in the workplace these days.
Lauren Cresswell, you mean the reporter who went missing?
Yes, that's the one. It's so hard for women working these days, just dangerous areas.
Just let me, and like, as she's talking, you just hear a big crash and some indistinct shouting. Sorry about that, just let me...
Is everything all right?
Everything's fine, this is a normal Tuesday. Just let me look at, that's just the boss, the editor you see, he's like that. He gets very angry during crunch time before we publish. Just let me check the records and see who she was working with. I'll just be with you in one moment. She has looked through notes and she goes, "Oh dear, are you sure you really want to investigate this girl?"
It's not just her. I'm doing an article about women in various workplaces, all of whom have had problems and come to disappeared, had nasty things happen to them. It's such a dangerous world.
I mean, if you're quite certain, I suppose I could take you to her editor if you just follow me. And she gets up and she sort of, she doesn't look happy about going there.
If you'd rather just give us directions, we can always find our own way there. How do you find working here, by the way?
It's okay, the pay's all right and it keeps a girl working. There's not many jobs available these days for young women. Yes, it's just, it gets a bit hectic at this sort of time of the week. On Tuesdays.
What is so hectic about Tuesdays, Dan?
The editor, he gets a bit frustrated, you see, when we're getting closer to crunch time.
Oh.
And yes, here we are, just through that door. As you've been getting closer, you've heard him. He's just been shouting, "What are these you call these pictures? These are trash, get out of here, you're fired! Get out of here!" You hear a crash and a young man goes running out of the room.
Step out of his way.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still, "Yes, there you go, enjoy, bye!" And she just hurries off. You notice a sign on the wall. It says H. Howard Hendrickson. There's a man there. He's got a little mustache and a flat top haircut. He goes, "God damn it, that's the third reporter this week. I need a better photographer, damn it. Who the hell are you?"
"Well, I happen to be a photographer. I was looking for some work. So I heard you was hiring. Maybe I could help you out."
"I mean, yeah, an opening's just opened. Do you have a portfolio?"
"Well, I don't have any portfolio with me right now. I mean, my dear journalist friend here could probably vouch for me that I'm a really serious photographer. And yeah, we're doing a real hit piece now on some ladies in the workplace. It might be a Pulitzer winner, probably. So, yeah."
Penelope, roll me a networking. "Penelope Pendleton, why didn't you speak up, woman? I didn't realize it was you. If this man's with you, then of course I can hire him. I'll tell you what I need. Have you heard of the Mothman?"
"Oh yeah, I've heard of the Mothman. Absolutely."
Roll mythology. "You have not heard of the Mothman." "He's a goddamn menace, I tell you. And what I need is pictures of the Mothman. And I could sense that you guys are here for something too."
"Yeah.
So you get me them pictures, and I'll see about helping you guys out."
"Well, we can fix that, can't we, Penelope?"
"I'm sure you can try and find some pictures. Why don't you go and do that? Is there possibly anything you could tell me about Lauren Cresswell?"
"Ah, so that's what you're after. Give me them pictures and I'll tell you all you need to know. She was a good kid, up and coming. But nothing lasts for free. Sorry, I'm just smoking this cigar. It's very rough on the lungs."
"Yeah, you should maybe lie off of them for a while. It doesn't
seem good
that
for you.
Healthy.
Everyone knows they're good for your health.
Doctor recommended it.
So I might want to go out and try to find like a dark room somewhere to see if we can find some pictures that I can sort of mixture with so it will look like the Mothman."
To be fair, you don't actually know what the Mothman looks like because you've never heard of him.
"No, but it doesn't mean that he knows, and I'm really good at deception, so..." "Maybe, Penelope, do you think you could accompany me to the dark room? Because I'm not very comfortable in dark places. So we could find a picture to sort of tamper with, and we could maybe fool him into thinking it's the Mothman and get our information, and maybe paid as well."
"What is your thing, Mr. McBride?"
"Yeah, well, we won't get any info until we get those pictures."
"Look, I'll tell you what.
Accompanying you alone, unchaperoned, into a dark room.
I'll tell you what, you guys don't seem to know what you're thinking about looking for. You go down to the public library. There's a couple of good books. Why don't you start there?"
"All right. Well, we could try that as well." Seems to be a long way around everything, but well, the hell not. But maybe we should give a call to PI and he can maybe meet us up there and see what the other guys are up to as well.
Sure, we got a phone.
Thank you. And I'll just go call the police station and Walter and let them know what's happening.
Yeah.
How exactly are you going to phone us?
Well, I think I know
the police.
They phone the police. He probably won't answer since he's chasing Victor around, but there might be someone else there.
There's more.
We know where they were going, so why don't we just get back in the car and go and drive there and meet them?
There is more than one policeman, to be fair.
I have given the policeman the slip, and now I am back at Walter's office.
All right. Maybe we could call him, at least Walter, and tell him that we're going to the library.
Did you by any chance take the doctor and Tilly with you, Victor?
No, but I can go and pick him up.
Yeah, Victor dropped off Walter's car somewhere, found his own car, picked us up, and has gone back to our office.
Oh.
Yeah.
That really doesn't seem fair at all.
No, I use Walter's car.
He took us with him.
Petrol, not mine.
Somehow we can just maybe call you guys and tell you that we're going to the library.
Not a problem.
Or we can just try to meet them and then discuss it there and then all go, rather than try to telephone around and hope they're still there.
We can do that as well, just so we all get to the same place, somehow, one way or the other.
It's fine.
We'll go back to the office, they phone us, and then we go and meet them at the library.
Everyone's at the library.
Yes.
Yay.
So you go to the public library. I was going to say it was an old building, but I suppose it's 1920s, so there's not really that such a thing as an old building at this point in America.
No.
It's what we would call an old building nowadays.
Just so you know, the editor at the newspaper decided that he wanted us to go and get some pictures of this Mothman before he would tell us anything, because Mr. McBride said he was a photographer.
Hmm. But what did you find on the recording, Walter?
Gibberish, due to the ineptitude of Victor.
I think you will find it is you who jammed the tip.
But you are the one that suggested it.
You did what? You destroyed the evidence.
He chewed up the tape.
Hmm. I was hungry.
Dear me.
I did already doubt you, but now I doubt you more.
And I still doubt you, Doctor.
Hmm.
How long have you been working as a private investigator, Mr. Gabe?
A length of time.
I see. Interesting.
Well, guys, maybe you could help us try to find some info on the Mothman then, so we could either get a picture or manufacture a picture of the Mothman so we can get our information.
What does this Mothman look like?
That's why we're at the library.
Consult
but
the librarian.
If you don't know what it looks like, and he doesn't know what it looks like, why don't you just, you know, wings and take a picture of yourself?
Yeah, I tried to propose that, but dear Mrs. Pendleton, not the keen on that idea, so...
I can build you a Mothman.
That sounds like a really good idea.
A mechanical one.
Yeah.
A mechanical Mothman, yes.
It sounds like a really bad guy, so metal would be probably really nice to picture the Mothman. I say we go with that, Victor.
Okay, I go to my workshop and I make you a Mothman.
Can I go and look at back issues of the newspapers to see if there's any other disappearances of reporters or anything connected to sweetshops, please?
Yes, you can. And the man behind the counter, he goes, "Ah, guten Tag, friend. Freundin, how can I help you? I'm Klein, I'm the librarian here. What are you looking for?"
Back issues of the local newspapers.
Oh, I see. I can't do a German accent.
Is there a microfiche available in the back room?
Yes, I've completely lost the accent. I'm just going to go for it. Yes, there's the issues back there. I'm French now. I was mid heritage. And mine and father, he was German. So I have a bit of a strange accent. Guten Tag.
Happy to see
you. Yeah, just perception, I guess.
Perception's
only
10. Yeah.
I shall have a crack at perception then, seeing as I'm with you again.
It doesn't seem to be a research skill.
There isn't. It's a simplified skill set.
Yeah, I didn't think it would come up. Yeah, sure. There's not really anything about reporters specifically, but there has been a spate of disappearances. You notice there's a few that all say Mothman strikes again. And the first one started about year 7 months ago. No one can quite make up the mind when the first one was.
Are there any articles about Lauren Cresswell's disappearance?
One, it just says local reporter goes missing. they couldn't really find much about it, so there wasn't much written about it, if that makes sense.
As they are doing that, could I go and try and look at some books about hematology, please?
Certainly. Our medical section is just over here. I'm just going to roll with this stupid fucking accent for this guy.
I will walk up to him and say, guten Abend, mein Freundin. Mein Freund sucht nach information, aber fahrt wird.
Ja.
Ja. Sorry.
Ja.
Point.
Okay, I've probably got that wrong, but yeah, fuck it.
Just over there.
Okay, so we've both been pointed over towards the books we're after. Okay.
I don't know what books, but he's found them.
I was looking for mythical creatures.
I see. So yeah, if you're looking for mythical creatures, roll mythology.
Pass it.
He has to keep hammering it home to us that none of us actually went for the character classes that took.
Yeah.
You find a book called Modern Myths, because it turns out the Mothman is a fairly recent discovery or fiction, whatever it is, nobody's quite decided yet. It mentions that people seem to go missing out in the woods at a very specific spot, to the point where it's a tourist spot almost, and people will go there at night to try and catch a glimpse of this Mothman. There's a few sort of drawings, like sketches in the book, but none of them really look like each other. Something looks like it's a man with lacy wings. There's another one of, it looks more like a larger insect. There's another that just, you just can't make out what the hell it's meant to be.
Bitte. Haben in Frankreich Leute Fragen über Fabelwesen geschafft?
Ja.
Ah!
Ja.
Wer waren Sie?
Nein.
Just point. Just point in a direction.
No. I asked, have any weird people been asking about mythical creatures? And then, who were they?
Oh, there was the good doctor yourself. Oh, you walked into it. And I'm sticking with that response.
Der gute Doktor.
Yeah. Tilly was looking at hematology. She can't find anything that matches up at all. It's never been recorded, at least. Okay. What has happened?
Ich glaube nicht, du das nicht verstehst.
Look, doctor, I'm clearly on the run. Will you stop? I don't speak German and I kinda do.
Why did you approach me with a German voice and speak in German?
Because I'm hiding who I am. I did some bad shit, mate.
Right, well then tell us what we need to know and we won't tell anyone who you are.
You don't know who I am, mate.
Yes, but you already just told me you're on the run, so someone be interested in who you are.
I wander over and start listening in discreetly.
This fellow here says he's on the run, Tilly.
Oh, doctor. How exciting.
So,
who would say such a thing? I think you've been sampling your own supply a bit, doctor.
I see. My friend here is also not German.
My mother was German and my father, he was French. So that is why I have the accent, but I am American.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Warst du dir?
Oui.
So, having just asked this German man if he lives here, him replying with yes in French, I don't think he's German.
As I said, I am not German,
look,
I'm American.
Look, let's
I get the
ditch
accent
this facade
from my father.
And just tell us what we need to know so we can leave you in peace.
I am a humble librarian. If you tell me what you need to know, I will try and help you.
So, Mr. Totally Klein. Not a criminal librarian.
Klein will suffice, thank you.
Was it alcohol by any chance? They're very big on cracking down on those smuggling illicit liquor.
Oh no, I never touched the stuff.
Best
never, never.
When within chocolates.
I see. Has anyone else been in to research the Mothman recently?
I mean, there are the tourists and the crackpot. Yes, they all seem to be enamored with it.
And it being
a new thing and all.
I see. And are any of them local residents?
I mean, I suspect so, yes. Locals tend to visit the local library.
I see. Doctor, I'm not convinced we're going to get any more useful information here.
No, I'm just a humble librarian, thank you.
But it is interesting.
It's going quite Indian now.
Yeah.
It is a mixture of German and French.
Of course it is. Don't worry, I'm sure we'll be back.
Certainly, the public library is open for everybody's use. Make sure you get your card stamped.
For what?
Every sixth book borrowed is free.
How much do you charge otherwise?
We charge 50 cents for the initial 2 weeks, and then 5 cents for every day over.
Christ, that's expensive.
In modern times, that's very extortionate. You've been hit hard by the Depression.
Books, they are not cheap to print.
Well,
plus people keep just stealing them.
They're not going to be printed, you're going to be kept here.
People keep stealing them as well.
Do you print them here?
Surely.
No, but we have to buy them.
What's your annual budget for buying books?
I will come back and visit and inquire about this interesting pricing structure.
Thank you. I'm sure it will be most enlightening.
Okay.
I got this guy. It was just meant to be a random German.
Okay, so we go outside the library and standing outside of the library, looking at each other with lots of confusion is probably a good place to end that scene.
Yeah, I agree. That scene could just finish. So,
as a single tear rolls down his cheek.
As Klein the German, the clearly German, half German, half French man, makes a panicked phone call as you all leave.
And on that note, we draw this episode to a close. Thank you for listening. The podcast featured Ben, Nikolai, Dragon, Daniel, Graham, Ash, and John. The Call of Penance RPG was written by Ben Simpson. Artwork created by John Moore. All music was written and performed by Daniel Bostrom. If you would like to support Penance RPG, we have a Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/penancerpg. If you'd like to support all our future projects, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/penancerpg. All support is appreciated and gratefully received. Thank you, and good night.